You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. This being your preview edition and also your homecoming edition as we look at the Missouri State Bears, who are coming to town, coming to the Fargo Dome at 1 p.m. on Saturday. And to preview this game, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Ross Uglum. Ross, you must be in a good mood from your other team's game last night.
Yeah, gamer. You know, we talk a lot about offensive line play on this podcast, and I've been a high level of concern for what might happen with that offensive line. They got the ball out quick, ran the ball effectively, and, you know, destroyed a Bears team. And it was nice to really hate a football team again after that hit on Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that was pretty cheap, man. I mean, we talk about, like, the targeting rule in college football, but my God, was that a vicious hit.
Yeah, you know, frankly, Green Bay hasn't lost enough to the Bears in the recent years to really call it a rivalry. Like, I haven't had that disdain that I might for Minnesota, but boy, that came back quick.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So let's get back into the NDSU side of things, get into our news portion. We don't have a lot to talk about besides the big news item. It's homecoming, Ross. What do you have planned? What do you think folks should be looking for here on homecoming weekend?
Well, the parade is always fun, and the early tailgate's always fun. 1 o'clock game, of course, means a very, very early tailgate, and people, you know, it's a one chance a year that people get to have breakfast food at the tailgate. So I think that 8 a.m. tailgate's a lot of fun. People making eggs, people making bacon. There's nothing better than walking around a tailgate lot that smells like bacon. There just isn't.
So how early are you going to be getting there tomorrow morning?
Well, we've got to move, you know, our tailgating rig. We've got to move that at 8 o'clock and into the lot. And, you know, I'll be there in the lots, I would probably say, for 3.5 to 4 hours. Then I'll go inside and kind of do what I do, check on who might be here on a visit for football, see if Coach Richmond's got anybody down on the field, see if anybody that I didn't know about's in street clothes, kind of just do the normal pre-game ritual and the information gathering. And I also like to take a quick look at the other team, just kind of as they warm up and gauge them from a size, speed, and strength aspect and get a quick read on what I think might happen physically up front.
Well, Ross kind of alluded to, and folks in the podcast industry, we call that a segue when Ross was mentioning what recruits could potentially be down there on the sidelines before the game. And so that'll transition us into recruiting time with me. And we've talked about this a lot in the last 2 weeks because it's been extremely, extremely busy for Coach Richmond and staff. But we have the fourth and final official visitor that is scheduled to come in right now. It's a kid from Nebraska, 6'5", 6'6". Kind of just a wing type in Sam Griesel. Again, I spoke with him last night. If you want to get his direct quotes, you can head on over to the Bison Report. He gives a timeline, gives what other visits he's going on, and I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek there. He does have more visits, including two to South Dakota and Drake after this visit. So from talking with Sam, again, I don't think he's in any kind of hurry, which I don't really think NDSU needs him to be in any kind of hurry, knowing what they're sitting at in terms of with three commits already. You know, I'd have to think that Richmond feels in a very good place with where they're at. So I know that you've been talking to some people behind the scenes about Mr. Griesel. I mean, do you think he is a take if he does, you know, go an extra month here and decide at the end of October?
I wouldn't be surprised about it at all, especially just the way that they run their team now with the ball handler, three wings and a big. He's going to be a wing, and they'll need, you know, 3, 4, 5 rotation wings every year. And I think the staff might have learned something last year as well, as far as, you know, making sure you've got guys coming in, because you never know when someone might leave the program, whether it's a guy like Evan Wiesenberg, who was a scholarship athlete that didn't quite work out, scholarship athlete that knew wasn't going to have a time, you know, to play. You're not going to hit on every kid on every class. So you got attrition, and then guys like Kai Cabellos who just transferred out. I think there'll be a lot of takes for this club in the next couple of years just to sort of cover their bases so something like this season maybe doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this plays out. But again, you know, maybe this is a Jarius Cook and a Vinny Shahid situation from last weekend. You remember that both told us that didn't really have a time frame, including Shahid, who said, I'd like to decide in the middle of October, and he was extremely adamant about that. Well, he goes on his visit on Saturday afternoon. I believe we got word that he committed. Jarius pulled the trigger Monday evening. So, again, we'll have to see how Coach Richmond and staff are able to work their magic and see if they're able to go 4-for-4 on their official visitors. And then on the football side of things, there is an official visitor this weekend. It is running back commit DJ Stewart from Wisconsin. This weekend just worked the best for him and his schedule, and the NDSU football staff will host him on an official visit. Most of the other kids are taking unofficial visits. You can see, again, a full list on the Bison Report. I had that up yesterday, but it's a majority of the commits. Again, they're coming in to see the first Missouri Valley game. And if I can say anything about, you know, whether it's basketball or football recruits, folks, it's that the first thing they always mention to me is the atmosphere and the fan support playing a large role in their decision. So if you think that you don't play a large role in these high-caliber kind of kids choosing North Dakota State, I think you're mistaken. So, again, NDSU fans know that these NDSU recruits and these NDSU coaching staffs are absolutely using you as a tool in their belt.
Without question, it's a huge deal. It's very important to these kids. It's something that was mentioned to me as well in the Jarius Cook interview. You can hear that when he talks about how well his interview went. And it's funny you talk about his visit and the circumstances there, because Jarius wanted to pull the trigger in Fargo, and his parents pretty much demanded that he sleep on it, and he woke up and pulled the trigger anyway. So very well done, I would say, by this North Dakota State staff handling these kids when they get him on campus and show them the atmosphere of the football program and all the basketball facilities. These kids get excited and they want to be Bison, and that is exactly what you're looking for, you know, from a recruiting perspective, is to sell the program, and the program is really being sold well. We'll actually play that interview. I had a chance to speak with NDSU's newest basketball commitment, Jarius Cook, and here's that interview right now.
We've got NDSU's newest commitment, Jarius Cook. Jarius, congratulations on your commitment, and how are you?
I'm doing great.
So how did everything go down? You were at NDSU, you had an official visit. When did you pull the trigger? What was the staff's reaction? What were your parents' reaction? Kind of walk us through this last weekend.
Well, first off, I just had a great visit, enjoyed spending time with the team, enjoyed meeting all the fans, enjoyed just seeing the campus, seeing what it's like to be a Bison, and my parents wouldn't let me commit on the spot, which I really wanted to do, so I came home Sunday night, thought about it that night, and then right after school, Monday afternoon, I called Coach Richmond and committed over the phone. He was really excited. My parents were really excited for me. So
that's excellent. And what other schools were a part of your recruiting process?
University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, Idaho, Northern Iowa, and then NDSU.
So how did you enjoy your visit? Who were your hosts? And were you with any other potential NDSU guys as well?
So Rocky and Tyree were my hosts. Yep. I actually played high school basketball against Rocky, so I kind of knew who he was. I just got to know Tyree throughout my time there, but I hung out with a lot of the guys on the team. It's a close, tight-knit family, so everyone's always together on the weeknights, just hanging out together. So I was able to hang out with a lot of the team for a lot of the weekend that I was there.
And what, from a scheme perspective or kind of an X's and O perspective, did you learn about NDSU basketball, and how do you see your game fitting in?
Well, Coach just told me kind of the role that I'd be playing throughout my years at NDSU. I liked that a lot. He took some of my high school game film and kind of put it into some film what they like to do at NDSU, and I just thought it'd be a perfect fit. So,
as you know, I'm sure NDSU's leading scorer Paul Miller will graduate this season. Was the buckets that he gets or the minutes that he plays, was that a part of their pitch at all to you, that, that you might have a chance at those shots or at that time on the floor?
Yeah, definitely. They said they kind of see me playing a similar role as Paul did. So I thought it'd be a perfect fit. I kind of see the similarities in the way that, that me and Paul play, so I thought it'd be a perfect fit.
That's excellent. So if you were just going to try and explain your game to a fan, is there anybody in college ball or in pro ball that you model yourself after at all?
Well, in college ball last year, Malik Monk at University of Kentucky, kind of an undersized two guard, but I feel like I can shoot the ball. I can shoot the ball really well, also attack the basket, but I'm very athletic and can get out on the break, get up and down fairly easily. So I'd say I'm an athletic shooter. That's the type of game that I possess.
How important was it for you to close your recruiting process before you started your senior season of basketball?
I thought that was very important. It's a lot of stress going into the season. I was going to focus on basketball in school during that time. So I kind of knew I wanted to go to NDSU for a while. So why not just get it done early and continue to build that relationship with Coach Richmond and the other coaches?
Anything in particular that the staff would like you to work on this season?
Just continuing to get stronger. Just keep working on my game and as well as my leadership, as I am a senior this year at my high school.
All right. Is there anything you'd like to say to Bison fans?
I just can't wait to get down there next year. Promise it'll be a lot of fun throughout these next 4 years, and I can't wait to be a Bison, be part of the Bison family.
All right. Thank you so much, Jarius. We really appreciate your time.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
All right, we, of course, want to thank Jarius for taking the time to be with us today. Appreciate his insight into his recruitment and what he could potentially bring to North Dakota State's basketball program, potentially, as you heard, really in the near future. So very fun and very cool to talk to Jarius. And before we break down this weekend's homecoming game against Missouri State, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Other insurance companies try to cover the entire country. We think there's plenty of ground to cover right here with homes, autos, farms, and ranches. Nodak Insurance Company is focused on serving the people in the great state of North Dakota with agents who care and provide the answers you need to your doorstep. Hi, I'm Ross Uglum, your agent in Fargo. Call me today at 701-532-0891 and get the protection you need. Nodak Insurance, agents with answers.
All right, Ryan, let's talk some Mo State Bears.
So when you look at them thus far this season, they are 1-3, and I don't necessarily think they're very good. But first of all, how bad is Missouri? Because the first game of the season for both Missouri and Missouri State, Missouri put up 72 on these Bears, but the Bears put up 43 points on the road against Missouri. That following week, they headed up to Grand Forks, where they were subsequently shut out 34-0. They were able to beat Missouri State at home on the 16th, and then last weekend, Illinois State came to town, and they played a drumming on them 34-9. So all in all, I think Missouri State is bad. Missouri is the worst, but I don't know that this is necessarily a step up from what NDSU has played thus far.
No, I don't think it is. We talked about just – how it might end up being like an extended, we'll talk about this later, but it might end up being like an extended non-conference schedule where it gets a little cupcakey here because these first two teams just aren't very good. Missouri State is not where they eventually, I think, will be. I think that their coaching staff has this program as a whole trending into the middle of the valley. But right now, I mean, they're just not very good. You can't get beat by 35 points by UND.
Yeah, that's not good, especially with how bad UND has been. Again, I don't think that Missouri State has got much of a chance. Vegas really agrees with me as NDSU is a 33.5-point home favorite to start the Missouri Valley schedule. So we'll have to see how that kind of plays out. But let's start by talking about things, the offensive side of the ball, Ross, and Easton Stick. Obviously, you have to start with the signal caller. How do you think that things are going to flow through him when you look at the game plan for this Missouri State team?
I think there's a reasonable chance that the head coach lied to my face in a press conference.
No, that happens? The head coach lies to media? No. Ugglum, you know that never happens.
I asked if they would call different plays for Stick as it pertained to running the football, and I was told without any hesitation that they would not. They would call the same plays based on the Davis injury, and this isn't a me thing. Like, I don't really care one way or the other, but I still want to pay attention to whether or not that was the truth. I want to see if this staff is so comfortable with Henry Van Dalen that they feel comfortable running Stick on options, running Stick on leads, doing the things that they normally do, and running their offense in the way that they normally run it. Because if nothing has changed, I don't know if that's stupidity or if that's a vote of confidence in Henry Van Dalen or some sort of synergy between those two ideals. I don't know. But in a game where the outcome is not really in jeopardy, you have to find something to pay attention to. So this is my something.
There is always something, Ross. There is always something. So when you look at Missouri State and the offensive side of the ball thus far, it's probably like a 55-45 split with them running the ball just a little bit more than they're passing it. They have 134 rushing attempts opposed to 118 passing attempts. And they've actually been pretty okay on the ground, especially with their lead running back, Kalen Crowder. He's got 40 rushing attempts through four games, and he's averaging 7.5 yards a carry. So when you look at this Missouri State team, Ross, I'm pretty sure the first thing you're going to tell me is I need to pay attention to the fact that this Missouri State team has given up 14 sacks through four games, and is this an opportunity for these defensive ends and this front seven in general to get on track in the edge rushing game?
That's what you got to hope for. If you're an NDSU fan, I've been paying attention to that all year. Kleiman told me that they graded out really well because of the lack of snaps the other team got and the lack of, frankly, passing snaps that the other team chose to implement. But I've got to see a good pass rush rep. I'm waiting. I need to see a bend around the corner. I need to see a rip. I need to see a bull rush. I need to see a spin move. I got to see something that gets me going and makes me believe that one of these young kids is going to be able to go get a quarterback in a rush four drop seven situation in a big moment in a playoff game. I mean, I've got to see that in a team that does not have a lot of weaknesses. You need to focus on how this squad can get better. And I don't work for NDSU. I don't work for the coaching staff, but it's still something that you as a fan or as a media member need to look at, need to pay attention to, is ways that a team that's winning games by 30 points consistently can get better, because there are better teams coming down the road on the schedule. They're going to have to play Youngstown. They're going to have to play South Dakota State. They're going to have to play Strebler. And eventually, you know,
It's going to matter. What Ross is trying to say is, again, yes, NDSU's been playing well through three games, but their competition hasn't exactly been the greatest, and you're always looking to improve each game no matter what, and one of the biggest places that this NDSU team can improve is in their edge rush from their defensive end specifically. So, again, are we going to see Logan McCormick get another strip sack? Who else are we going to see step up? I mean, Ross, there's just a lot of opportunities for this team to continue to get better, because you mentioned it. Again, the Fighting Chris Strevlers of South Dakota are still on the schedule. Jake Wynicke out there at South Dakota State is still there. I mean, there's some big-time games still on the schedule, and for NDSU to have success as a defense, they're going to need to get some edge rush.
Absolutely. It's key to any defense. Even one with as excellent as interior pass rush as North Dakota State currently employs, you still need to be able to get there off the edge.
You do. So, again, you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but this is probably going to be another extended non-conference game when you look at this Missouri State team. We talked about them. You know, they got blown out by Missouri, North Dakota, Illinois State. They're giving up an average of 40 points a game. They're giving up over 5.5 yards a carry. I mean, this thing really bodes well for an offensive line that seems to be rolling in the run game.
Absolutely, and it's just a chance for, you know, Everyone.
I think the bigger question, Ross, may be, can Lance Dunn do it again with four touches for four touchdowns?
That seems unlikely, but we were just talking about that. This extended non-con, it's in an injury thing too. You know, there's no reason to rush back Jackson Brown. There's no reason to rush back Nick DeLuca. There's no reason to extend these guys further out than you would maybe want to. And so I think these two games might just end up being a blessing and allowing NDSU to go through there. What ended up being a relatively cupcake non-conference schedule, and then to get probably the two weakest teams in the conference right off the bat, it doesn't give them a bye week because, you know, make no mistake about it, no team is a bye week. It takes a physical toll to beat somebody even 50 to nothing. It's hard on your body. But at the same time, these are games where the outcome is pretty much predetermined, so you can be more conservative with the way that you expose guys that are nicked up and the way that you rush guys back that are not able to play. And that is something I think that you might have even seen last week with Ty Brooks. I don't know if that game's against South Dakota State, if Ty Brooks is in street clothes, but pay attention to just the way that these next 2 weeks are handled and if they're treated more like non-conference games or if the staff just goes by the book and does everything that they preach, which is that the Valley's a great league and that you can't take a Saturday off and that they play their guys and they get Nick and Jackson back and ready to go right when they're back and ready to go. Like I said, we keep looking for things to pay attention to in these blowout wins, and that's another thing I'm going to pay attention to.
Another thing you're probably going to pay attention to on the defensive side of the ball is this is two more chances for Dom Davis and Marquise Bridges to get reps. Again, I know that we're looking for things to talk about as NDSU has been absolutely dominating on the defensive side of the ball. But when you look at Dom, when you look at Marquise, I mean, what are you going to be watching for Saturday afternoon?
Well, I asked about it specifically, and it just seems like they're sticking with Marquise. Now, at the same time, they're double training Dom Davis, which I found to be an interesting X's and O's thing. That's why I ask questions like that. Something that you might not have gotten otherwise out of Kleiman is that Dom Davis might just be the backup free safety if something were to happen at to Trey Dempsey until Jackson Brown returns. We might have assumed that it was Darren Kelly, but it seems like there's a decent chance that it's Dom Davis. So he's been training in an outside corner and at free safety. And because of those double reps, apparently he hasn't quite been able to jump Marquise Bridges, who has been playing all right. You know, I do a ton of film review stuff for professional football, and I love looking at the All-22 because you can pay attention to what's going on. There are a lot of plays where, I'll be very honest, Marquise Bridges leaves my plane of sight. I can't see him anymore. I don't know how good of a job he's doing. So it's tough to evaluate with limited time just how well Bridges is playing. But, you know, I think he's doing all right. He's doing fine. And I really like Wimbush at nickel.
I know we also have talked about this, I think, off the podcast, but it's a good discussion topic on here, is what linebacker is going to sit when Nick DeLuca comes back? I mean, we've talked about how well this linebacker group has been playing. So when Nick DeLuca is hopefully healthy here in December-ish, I mean, what do you think that Entz is going to do?
It's a very difficult conversation. It's a very difficult thing to do, and it's a great problem to have. They have guys that are trained in at Mike and Plank and DeLuca and Marlette, and they have guys that are trained in at Will, which would be DeLuca and Jordheim. Jordheim has played so well that I don't know as though I can endorse taking him off the field. At the same time, that was always the plan, and it was actually going to be Plank, Board, and DeLuca in the base, with DeLuca playing Will over Jordheim. Now, I think the potential is there that the second-best linebacker on the team just might be Dan Marlette. And then you have to play him and Mike and Nick at Will so that you can get those two athletes on the field at the same time because of their speed and their tackling ability. And honestly, even just what I've seen from Marlette and his ability to blitz is impressive as well. So I think you have to bench Jordheim, but I hate doing that because, I mean, he's a really good player. The Cox board competition will continue throughout the year, I think. But those are the Sam linebackers. Those two don't factor into this equation. And frankly, moving Jordheim to Sam doesn't factor into this equation either. The two guys that are going to play that Sam position are going to be either Chris or Jabril. And that's what they're going to do moving forward. So that's what I would do, I think, in a base situation. But more often than not, you're going to have DeLuca and Jordheim out there because those are your two nickel linebackers. And that is the defense that you're going to have to play most of the season because they're going to spend most of this season ahead. And the other team's going to have to throw the ball. And so that's kind of how I see everything shaking out. But, boy, it would be tough to send Matt – it would be tough to send Den Marlett back to the bench. And that injury situation with Matt Plank could not have come at a worse time because I think he's going to find it relatively difficult to make his way back onto the defense. And his senior season very well might be spent as an excellent contributor on special teams.
So the final thing I want to ask you about here is just because of the quality of opponent. And again, you have a much longer knowledge and deeper knowledge in terms of NDSU football than I do right now in terms of going way back. But do you think there's any chance of a loss when you look at these repeated blowout victories? Do you think there's a, again, I don't know that I necessarily see it, knowing it's homecoming, knowing that all these kids want to play for that, you know, big reason right off the top there. But do you think there's any chance of a letdown spot here for the Bison?
I don't think there's a chance of a letdown spot here. I don't think Missouri State has that level of talent. But it's just the type of games that the 2011 and 2012 teams lost. Home games to opponents they had no business losing to. And I don't know if it was a lack of focus, but those two were excellent teams. Those two squads were very, very, very good. They ended up winning national championships. I mean, they were on that level. But at the same time, they did drop games. They dropped home non-conference games. I don't think that's going to happen this week. I absolutely will not pick Missouri State. But at the same time, when you are blowing teams out, sometimes when you get into a competitive game, it's more difficult, or it's a new feeling, and maybe the bounces don't go your way. It's just not a team that's going to be grinding in and out every week when they are pulverizing people the way that they are. I have very little concern about this game, but I mean, I'll be interested to see what goes on moving forward. You know, who trips up the Bison, if anyone, during the regular season.
So when you look at the game this weekend, I alluded to it earlier. I talked about it. It is a 52 over-under. It is a 33.5-point home favorite for the Bison against Missouri State. Missouri State looks really bad, especially on defense, and I guess that's where it matters most. They're giving up over 5 yards a carry. You look at this offensive line really rolling coming in. Lance Dunn only gets touchdowns. I mean, I think this sets up very well for a nice little homecoming victory. Ross, I am going to go 48-10 in terms of an NDSU victory. What about you?
Yeah, I've got 42-7. I think this game does not go into the 50s. I think NDSU really ratchets this whole thing down with the Cole Davis injury, protects their quarterback, has a very wide margin of error in this game. And they use that to just grind Missouri State into a pulp. And, you know, they're winning this game 97, 98 times out of 100. So just keep the ball on the ground. If the game stays in the 40s and doesn't get to the 50s, that's fine. I don't think style points are going to be necessary this season.
Sounds good. Anything else before we wrap it up for today?
Nope.
All right, we want to thank you guys for listening here once again. If you want to support us, head on over to the Bison Report. Ross is going to have his game preview up either late tonight or Saturday morning. We'll have updates on Sam Griesel, how his visit goes, and the rest of the visitors from the football side of things. So if you can, please rate and review us on whatever podcast application you're listening to us on, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, whatever podcast, we greatly appreciate it. So for Ross, for myself, we thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week to hopefully break down the first win of the Missouri Valley season. Go Bison!